We may be seated. I want to thank the Lord again this morning and I'll greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I thank God for His grace. As the Bible said, I'll be going back home on Tuesday. And I just want to thank God for the time I've been here. As you know, I went to the Philippines and then lastly to Cambodia. I thank God for His grace that has kept me and kept me going in Cambodia. Bring your greetings from Brother Israel and Sister Deborah. They are already doing a fine work for the Lord there, though the challenges are very high. You know, Cambodia is a Buddhist country. They are, you know, well dug into that religion and that culture. But this time around, you know, I went. We went to other places where he's making inroads, and the people there are very receptive of the word. They are open to learn and to see things not in through the eyes of denominationalism or things like that, but by the grace of God, I believe the Lord is calling those whom He predestinated unto eternal life, that they may see the light of the gospel. So I thank God for what Brother Israel is doing down there, and I just solicit your prayers. And he's very, was very thankful for the support you are giving him in your prayers and things for him to reach out with the word of God. So it is really our duty to keep on praying for them, that whatever the Lord desires in that part of Asia may be established, that the people may come to the realization of the faith and the time in which we are living in, and the closeness of the coming of the Lord. So you just pray for them, and I also would solicit your prayers as I'll be going back. Maybe I'll proceed to Uganda, as you say. Just take the grace of God to keep going. So I really solicit your prayers, and I want also to extend my gratitude to you all for your love, your hospitality, and all the support that you gave me during my stay here. And may the Lord really bless and add to you more blessings for what you have done to me. Is not only to me, but it's going, the ripple effects of what you did is going to go over to other people also through the ministry of the Word of God. So may God really richly bless you and keep your hearts in the faith.
Amen.
And in the expectation of the coming of the Lord, for we really believe the Lord's coming is at hand. So may God richly bless you. Is my prayer.
Amen.
Amen. We just want to share this morning. We want to read from the book of James. Chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In chapter 2, we'll read from verse 20. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar, seeing that how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect.
Yes.
And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes, Lord.
We come before the throne of mercy, Father. We have read your word, which any able person can do by flipping the pages of the Bible.
Yes.
And Father, read. But Lord, it takes your spirit to reveal this word and to bring it to life, Father.
Amen.
So our lives will be built, Father God, according to your will and the purpose of your calling us. So
Amen.
I commit myself, Father God, into your hands. And also the hearer, that Lord, you may bless us and cleanse us, Father, and be able, Father God, to see the revelation of your word, that
yes.
we may be built, Father, in faith to come into that stature of perfection.
Amen.
And be ready for your coming.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Ask this, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As we pray.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to speak on what we've just read about faith and works. It says here Abraham was justified because of what he did or his works after he heard the word of God. Now, there are works that are done, or there's what we do when we come, or when we receive the word of God. As we know, there are certain things that are accepted by people when they accept the Christian faith. There are some standards that people can say you should do this or do that if you are a Christian. And more so, when people come to the message, there are some things that, you know, sort of naturally people, they say you must do this or you must do that. All those are works. But we just want to look at the definition of what the Bible here says. It's Abraham's works which justified him before God. Because we see also Paul says, it's not by works that any man should boast, but it is by faith through grace. But here James says he was justified by works. So he doesn't look at this, the faith and the works, as the Bible tells us. Now, firstly, we look at this, that the word of God is given us, we are given the word of God, that we may have faith to please God. And we know the Bible tells us that I think it's in Hebrews 11. We can just read that. We are near there. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we see here that for us to please God, it is by faith. And we just read where it says Abraham was justified by his works. He was called a friend of God because of what he did. Then we can see by the word that Abraham, if he pleased God, it must be upon this principle that without faith it is impossible to please God. As much as it is possible to do some good acts or to do some good things, which can be recommended, as I said, there are some things that we want to attain to, we want to do. If we are in the Christian faith, there are certain things that we must do. This I should do, this I must be doing, this I must be doing, that all those things, as I said, they are all good. But here it says, even though we do what is good here or what is good there, it is impossible to please God without faith. And James puts it like this. He says that you believe that there is one, there is but one God, you do well. But also, even the devils believe and they tremble.
Yes.
So it's not upon that basis that I believe there is one God, that's what pleases God. Because if that's what pleases God, just to have faith and say there is but one God, also the devils believe.
Right.
But God has no pleasure in the devils.
Mm.
So we see here that God gives us his word. With Abraham, he heard the word of God. And when he heard that word of God, it created in him that faith. As the Bible says, because faith comes by hearing the word. Now, so in Abraham, for him to please God, you know, in the time of Abraham, there was no written or a laid down code of conduct.
Right.
Like we can think today that now I'm a Christian, being a lady, I must do away with my trousers, I must put on a skirt, I must put on a long skirt, I must do away with my paint, I must do away with cutting my hair, and all those things like that. In the time of Abraham, we don't have those things. He had no ethics, or he had no code of conduct to follow. But in that, he pleased God. It doesn't mean he lived a life which was reckless and in sin, because there was no law. So we can see actually, to please God is not to follow a certain code of ethics,
right,
but it is to have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
And that faith is what pleases God.
Mm-hmm.
But James here says, without works, then that faith is dead. So we'll just see by the word of God what these works are and what faith is, that which pleases God. James says it was the works of Abraham, what he did, that he was called a friend of God.
Right.
Because of what he did. But let's see what Paul says about the same Abraham's works and faith. In the book of Romans, the book of Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 4, we can maybe just read Romans chapter 4, verse 1, maybe up to 5. Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, He had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now here Abraham was justified because of his faith. And Paul here says it's not of works, but of faith. So his justification, he pleased God, like it's stated in Hebrews chapter 11, that without faith it is impossible to please God. So here we see Abraham pleased God not by works, but by faith. Yet James says he was justified and called a friend of God by works. It doesn't mean these two are contradicting. They are showing us the same thing, that it takes faith to produce the works.
Amen.
It's not works than faith. Amen. So we see here, Abraham, he received the word of God. Because in chapter 10 of the same book of Romans, chapter 10 of Romans, verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is a product of hearing the word, or is a product of the word of God. So Abraham, if he was justified, he could not be justified outside hearing the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he heard the word of God.
Right.
And when he heard the word of God, it created faith in him. It was not just doing good, but first he had to be built upon this foundation of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was built on this foundation of faith, then he went on to do the works.
Mm-hmm.
As a witness to his faith. Because verse 16, it says in chapter 10 of Romans, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So you see, Isaiah says, who has received our report, and to who was the hand of God revealed?
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah was speaking of this gospel of Christ coming to redeem us. And he asked this question, who has received our report? What is receiving? He goes on to say, to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed?
Yes.
So the word of God, when it is heard, it must be revealed to produce the faith that can then go on to please God. So when we hear the word of God, it creates in us that faith. It gives us the revelation. So Abraham did not just receive a voice. He did not just receive, you know, something that was introducing him to another maybe level of worship. Because when he was back there in Mesopotamia, he was worshipping idols and things like that.
Mm.
So it was not something showing him to worship another god, as he was worshipping gods in Mesopotamia.
Mm.
But it gave him the revelation. It gave him the enlightenment of the purpose of his calling.
God was calling him, and God gave him his word. So to Abraham, it was not just listening to God, and when he says, go there, do this, do that, do that. To Abraham, it was not like that. It was a revelation
right.
of the purpose of God's calling.
Right.
And it does not please God, whatever we do, if it is not by faith. Paul says anything that is outside faith is sin. So when we worship God, it is not because we just read, we just see the word, and then we start to do this, do that, because the word says that. But because if we are accepted on the same basis Abraham was accepted, Abraham had nowhere to look and see some code of ethics. Abraham had to please God in his everyday life. He had to see the purpose of God in his calling. He had to see, he had to get the revelation of that word of God. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's like during the days of Luther, you know, the Bible was not allowed to be translated and things like that. And when Luther came out, he came out on the basis of faith or justification is by faith in the word. But the Catholic was he had taken away the Bible from the people, and the people just listened to their priest. But when Luther came to point people back to the word, where it says that justification is by faith, then people received that. And then in those days, by just accepting and believing that this Bible is the word of God, it would bring death to whoever believed that by the Catholic Church. Just by just holding the Bible, it was something that was a step far much ahead of the life the people were living in that Catholic time. But now, it kept on and on until the days of Wesley, until we come to the Pentecostal era. Then the Bible was just flooded everywhere. In the time of Luther, to hold a Bible, it meant you believed the Bible. You are not just Catholic. But it went to the point that everybody could just have a Bible. And now, it's not that everybody who held a Bible has the faith of Luther, which brings to justification.
Right.
Because it was now just for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you know, when we first received the message way back in the 70s, you know, if you just find somebody holding a spoken word book, would believe, would accept him as a brother. Because you have just come out of denominationalism, now you are in the message. Just to be there was acceptable as a standard that you are in the bride. But it's not so
right.
today. These things, the thing is just flooded everywhere.
Right.
Until it doesn't even bring to the people what God desired when he sent this message.
Amen.
So what is this faith that will please God and bring us? Because you know, we are not just living here. We are not just here to spend a time on earth. We are looking forward to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
Right.
That faith which can please God, that faith which can bring us into the reality of God's calling. With Abraham, when he was given the word of God, it was for something that God wanted him to come to. You remember, God wanted through him to have us all as believers in God. To him was promised a son. And Abraham had faith in the word of God, looking to the purpose of his calling. So whatever Abraham did, he did not do it to fulfill some ethic, some code of conduct, but he did it so that he can bring about that which he was called for. And that was to bring this faith, or to bring this the children who believe in God, as God told him that after Isaac, your seed shall be called. So, now, we have seen that James says, it is by works that Abraham was justified. And it also says, if you have faith and not the works, that faith is dead.
Amen.
So how can I have a dead faith? You know, for something to die, there must first of all be a birth.
Right.
So if he says that faith is dead, it shows that at a particular time it was alive. That's why the Bible says here, we must continue in the law of liberty.
Amen.
You look at the people of Israel. Abraham was promised by God that after 400 years, I'll bring your children out of bondage. And when the 400 years had been accomplished, there was something in the people that cried out to God. And according to Exodus chapter 2, we see that God heard the cry of the people of Israel in Egypt, and he had respect for them because he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they actually cried out to God. They actually prayed to God. And when they came to the Red Sea, when God crossed them the Red Sea, the Bible says they believed in Moses and also believed in God. But when we come to Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 3 and 4, it says they heard the gospel, but the gospel, the word that they heard, was not mixed with faith.
Right.
So they all perished in the wilderness.
Right.
You see? So, according to Paul, they had no faith. But how did they cry in Egypt for their deliverance? The Bible says they had faith in Moses and in God after the Red Sea miracle. So you can see, somebody can actually start on the way and not come to the fruition of the purpose of God's calling.
Right.
And that faith dies. Amen.
Amen.
So, it was not so with Abraham. For the Bible says, when Abraham believed, he believed in hope against hope. His body was dead, Sarah's womb was dead, but he had faith, which means it was revealed to him the purpose of God's calling. He was not looking at the circumstances surrounding him. He was looking to the purpose of God's calling. So his faith was not in his surroundings, but his faith was in God.
Amen.
So against hope, he believed in hope.
Amen.
That's why the Bible says he pleased God.
Amen.
It was not circumstantial. It was not because of his surroundings. It was because of his revelation of the purpose of God.
Right.
That's why, you know, when we receive the word of God, when we receive why God gave us this word, if we receive it, it has to work in us the purpose why it was given to us.
Amen.
There are many things that may come our way. There are many obstacles along the way, but this cannot be our absolute.
Right.
We are not, our goal is not determined by what is happening today,
right,
but it's determined by the purpose of our calling.
Amen.
So God, when he looks at us, you know, what he is looking for, that's why Jesus says, when he comes back on earth, will he find the faith?
Yes.
Not will he find people who have abstained from smoking, who have abstained from drink, who have abstained from all these immoral things. That's not what Jesus Christ is coming for. He's coming for a people who have the faith. And what is faith? Faith is the revelation of the Word of God. It's a product of the Word of God. So without the Word, there cannot be faith.
Right.
And without faith, it's not possible to please God.
Amen.
That's why God has called us in this hour to come back to the Word.
Yes.
Because that's where life lies. Amen.
Amen.
And James says, it is the law of liberty.
Amen.
It's like James says, if a man looks into the mirror, he sees his face. But as soon as he comes away from the mirror, he forgets what he looks like.
Uh-huh.
But actually, when he looks into the mirror, he doesn't see something else. He sees himself.
Right.
He sees what he is. He sees everything as he is.
Right.
But as soon as he leaves the mirror, he forgets.
Right.
So that is faith. You can come, you can hear the Word of God, and you can see why, you can see the Word of God is calling us out of the world to come to God. And we can actually come out of the world, but like looking into a mirror, we no longer have in us the original purpose of God's calling. We forget why we have been called. Like a man who forgets his face after looking into the mirror. But then James says, we don't just look into that mirror, but we look into the law of liberty. And we continue therein. That's why he can now say, faith without works is dead. So we can see there's a dead faith and a living faith. So when we look into the law of liberty, which is the Word of God, when we constantly look into it, and the Bible is very specific, it says, and if we continue looking into that. Now the Word of God to us then is not just a mirror that tells us who we are and what we are at this moment, and then we forget. But it is a constant looking into the mirror, which is the law of liberty, which is the Word of God.
Amen.
So we go into the deepness of the purpose of God. The Word is actually revealed to us, like it was to Abraham. Amen. That's why he believed against hope.
Amen.
And also, we know that when we look into this mirror, we are actually getting the revelation of the Word. I think Paul puts it in Corinthians. Is it chapter 1, chapter 3? Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians, is it? Chapter 3. Verse 17, 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord even as by the Spirit of the Lord. James says if one looks into a mirror, he forgets. But here Paul says, we are beholding as in a glass. But you see here, it says, with open face, beholding. Now, when we look into this mirror, we don't see ourselves, but we see the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
And then by looking into the mirror, we are changed from glory to glory.
Yes.
Excuse me. Into that image. So, here Paul says, if open-faced beholding in the glass or in the mirror, James says it is beholding or looking into the law of liberty. And here Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
So you see, it is the Spirit of God which brings the liberty.
Amen.
Of the illumination of the Word of God, so that we get the purpose why God is calling us. And here it says, when we constantly behold or look into that mirror, we are changed from glory to glory.
Amen.
That's how then we please God. It is not now by our words to please God, but it is our faith in the Word of God.
Amen.
And because we are looking into that Word of God, that same glory of the Word of God, like Isaiah says, who has received our report? To whom was the hand of the Lord revealed?
Right.
So if the Word is revealed to us, it will bring us into that glory which God is calling us. That's why God was pleased with Abraham.
Amen.
He received the Word of God. He saw the Word of God. It was revealed to him the purpose of God's calling. And then when he started to do what he was doing, it was now the manifestation of his faith.
Mm-hmm.
It was not works, but it was his faith showing forth that he had the revelation of the purpose of God.
Yes.
So whatever you do, that's why the Bible says, without faith, you cannot please God.
Mm-hmm.
But if what you do is a result of the revelation of the Word of God, as it has created faith in you, when you do that, now it's an act of faith. It's not you now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Paul says, it's not me, but it's Christ who lives in me. So the Word of God is not given us that we should just practice it.
Right.
The Word of God is given us that we have the revelation, that we have the enlightenment of the purpose of God, and then out of that, then we can do the works that are pleasing to God.
Amen.
Paul says, we look into that mirror. James says, we look constantly into the law of liberty.
Amen.
Which is the Word of God.
Amen.
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 And then we can please God. You remember even Abel, you know, when Abel offered a sacrifice, the Bible says, when he did that, then it was proven that he was righteous. Why? Because he could see the purpose, he could see the sacrifice. By revelation, by faith, he saw the right thing. And what he did was the effect of the faith or the revelation that he had in God.
Right.
And then when he did that, it was the right thing. You will never go wrong if what you do is the result of the revelation of the Word of God.
Amen.
That's how you can overcome when you come to obstacles. That's why Job could overcome when he came to his obstacles. Obstacles can never be your hindrance.
Right.
Because you are not a circumstantial believer.
Right.
You are not somebody who is governed by circumstances.
Right.
You are somebody who is governed by the purpose of God.
Right.
Which may be very contrary to the things that are happening around you.
Amen.
You see? You know, there are people who followed, like Jesus Christ. There are people who followed him. But they never came to the realization or the revelation of his message. Though they followed him, any obstacle along the way, it was a hindrance to them.
Right.
Jesus stood and said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. It was a hindrance to them. They said, we can no longer go with him. Then he asked the rest of the other disciples. Then Peter said, where can we go? You have the word of eternal life.
Amen.
Because to him it was revealed the purpose of God.
Amen.
To him he was shown why he had been called.
Amen.
He was called to life. Amen. And that life emanates from the word of God.
Amen.
And that word of God was in Christ. So there's nothing that can take you away from God. If what you are doing is a result of your faith.
Amen.
Because that faith reveals to you the purpose of God. Abraham, when he was old, Sarah was old, he believed in hope against hope. Amen. Because he had seen, God had shown him the stars. So shall your children be.
Right.
He was shown something that was there. He had seen the stars. He had seen the actual thing. So faith is not a supposition.
Right.
Faith is not a myth. Faith is not just something that is just an encouragement. Faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence. It's something that is real. It is your excuse me, your understanding of the call of God. So when you understand God's calling in your life, then the works will follow. You know, in the time of Abraham, it was not that it was a rare thing for human sacrifices. Those things were done even among the heathens in those times. They would sacrifice their people to their gods. It was something that was practiced all over. So why is it that to Abraham it was it was so great that he was called a friend of God? If he was doing something that even the heathens were doing, because the heathens were also sacrificing their people, they were doing it was a common practice. But then how could God say to Abraham, "You are now my friend because you have done something that even the heathens were doing"? You see, it was his revelation of the purpose of God when he gave his son. You know, he said even to the servant, stay here, I'm going up with the lad, and I'll come back. We will come back.
Right.
He had the revelation. He had the purpose why God was bringing him into this. The same with Abel. When he brought the sacrifice, it was not just because he had a lot of sheep. Remember, the Bible said he was a shepherd. It doesn't mean he brought the sacrifice because he had a lot of sheep there. And Cain had a lot of vegetables, then he gave also the vegetables. The Bible doesn't say Abel gave what he had. He was a shepherd. Then that's all he could bring if it were to bring what he had. That's all he had to bring. But he was not accepted because he brought what he had. He brought something. What he did was by the revelation of the word of God.
Amen.
By faith.
Right.
Amen. So you can do a very good thing, but outside faith.
Right.
You can do something that is well accepted, but if it is just you doing, like the Bible says, you are going to lay hands on the sick, they are going to recover. These signs shall follow them who believe. But on the day of judgment, Jesus says, they'll come to me and say, we did this and that in your name. And I'll say to them, I don't even know you.
Right.
But if you look at it in the face value, it's a work of faith.
Right.
But is that what God desires of us? Just to do works which pertain to faith, or which pertain to something that the holy people of God do? That is not it. Amen. It has to be by the revelation. Our works, or whatever we do, is a realization of the faith that is in us. So we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. What we do is the substance of what we have accepted. It is the fruit of our revelation. It is the fruit of our understanding the purpose of God. Let's read again in the book of Hebrews. Chapter 6. Verses 9 to 12. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Those who inherited the promises, the people of old who inherited the promises, the Bible here says it was because of their patience and because of their faith. The promises to them were not just something that they anticipated or they were hoping for, maybe it will come. But to them, it was something that was tangible. The promise to Abraham was not a maybe affair. It was something that was a tangible thing to him. The promises which were given to them of old, here it says, they were patient and they had faith. What they did was in anticipation of a reality that was revealed to them. They were not saying, maybe if we do this, maybe we can go through, maybe if we do this. But what they did was a result of the faith that they had. And that's why even, when we pray, according to his will, the Bible says, we will receive. So when you pray in faith, it is not a maybe affair. It's something that is revealed to you. You accept it before it's even there, because you don't go by sight but by faith.
Yes.
So that's why the people of old were reckoned righteous. They were people who were led by the revelation of the word of God, which was their faith in God. And when God looked at that, to them, that's why in the book of Hebrews it says they were not even given the promises, they are waiting for us, but they are reckoned righteous,
right,
even before they came to the actual thing. It is to us. Jesus said, this thing that you are seeing, those profound desire to see them. The things that you are hearing, them of old desired to hear them, but they did not. But they are counted as if they have heard them.
Right.
That's why Enoch could experience the rapture way back there. He had seen the actual thing, and by faith he was walking not according to his age, but according even to our age. You see, he had that rapture in faith way before Abraham came to introduce this faith, and it goes up through the prophets, the kings, until it comes to us. It was something that was revealed to him, and he had patience. He had faith in that purpose of God. That's why we have been called. And he says, God is not unjust to forget what we are doing as a result of the revelation that he has given us. God has given us his word. God has given us this message to prepare us for that rapture. And he is not unjust to forget what you are doing for the purpose of his calling.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So what we do, or the works that we do, are the proof of our faith.
Mm.
Are the fruits of our faith.
Mm.
Are the evidence of our faith.
Mm.
We don't cook up works to do so that we show faith. But it is faith that emanates,
yes,
and brings the works that we do.
Amen.
So you cannot be doing something that does not pertain to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
If you have faith.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be doing something that is against the word of God.
Right.
If you have faith that comes from the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do, or whatever obstacles, whatever hardships come in your life, they cannot sidetrack you because of the faith that you have.
Right.
You remember Joshua and Caleb. The Lord says they have another spirit in them. Those people who came out of Egypt, they believed in the coming out of Egypt. That was good. Like anybody can believe in the coming out of denomination and out of the world. That is good. But with Joshua and Caleb, there was something in them. For 40 years they were in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, I took you into the wilderness, and you have been in the wilderness for these 40 years. I wanted to chastise you as a father chastises his son.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know whether you followed my laws by your heart, which is faith. You see, even faith was a condition back then. You see, so why did Joshua and Caleb go through the 40 years? During the 40 years, the rest of the people were concerned about the food for the day, water for the day, all those things which pertained to their daily desires. But for Joshua and Caleb, what they were doing was the result of the faith that was in them. And they were not sidetracked by the problems that arose in the wilderness. They looked to the perfect calling of God, which was to go into the promised land.
Amen.
Because they were looking for that promised land, it made them to do the right things during these 40 years. They never complained, they never murmured, they never rose up against Moses, they never did anything that was wrong. Not because it was nice for them, not because they were not thirsty when the rest of the people were complaining, not because they were not hungry when everybody else was hungry. They went into the same problems, into the same obstacles, but their faith made them to do what they did, and they pleased God.
Amen.
Amen. We are living in this time. The word of God has called us for the rapture. But in each nation, in each individual, you know, there are obstacles, there are things that happen to hamper us from going forward. Whatever, you know, you may be enjoying this good here and enjoying this good there. You may look at this nation, they're in problems. You may look at this nation, they are that. You can look at these people, you know, they are that. And we're, at least we are better or we are that. Whatever we are going through cannot be an impediment. Right. Cannot be something that will darken the revelation that was given to us.
Hallelujah.
By the word of God.
Amen.
So what we do is a result of our faith in the word of God.
Amen.
And because of that, God is not forgetful. That's why we come into this problem, God delivers us. Into this sickness, God delivers you. He is not forgetful of your purpose in this corner.
Right.
You see, that's why the word of God was medicine to Joshua and Caleb. Actually, Caleb said, I still have the strength that I had when I came out of Egypt to go in and to come out.
Amen.
To fight battles.
Right.
Why? The word of God was his medicine. The word of God was his strength. Why? Because it was revealed to him. He did not come out of Egypt to eat manna. He did not come out of Egypt to drink water from the rock. But all these things were helping things to take them to the land. His objective was going into the land. So the works of faith are not limited to just the things that surround us. But it is the confirmation of our calling.
Amen.
Amen. It has to be confirmed in your life that you have been called for the purpose of God.
Amen.
God is not forgetful. He doesn't even slumber. He is there awake to fulfill his word to those who believed it. Amen.
Amen.
So we are to express the works. That's why James says, the works that we do, like Abraham was justified by his works. It was not something that he created. It was not some works that, you know, he had a program of doing this child work or doing that or doing that. But it was an expression of the faith that was in him. The purpose of God's calling. Amen. Maybe we can read again 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power is given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that is called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Amen. So, we are called by God, and we are given all things by his divine power, all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. Because God knows we are still living on this earth, he gives us all the things that pertain unto life and godliness. And how does he do it? Through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory. How has he called us? By his word. What has his word given us? It has given us exceedingly great promises. And it is by these promises that we are imparted the divine nature.
Amen.
So the nature of God, which is the life of God, which is the essence of God, is imparted on us through the promises. That's why we have faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for.
Amen.
You see? So we are looking forward. So now, if we are given promises which create in us faith, that means we will walk by the effects of those promises upon our life. We will walk according to the revelation of the word of God which was given us. That's how now our life is changed. That's how now we can do the works which please God. Because we have been given that divine nature which comes only by the promises of God. And the promises of God create in us that faith. Because we have not been called for something that is past already. We have been called to the rapture. And it's yet in the future. We have been called to a new heaven and a new earth. It's yet in the future.
Right.
We have not been called to something that is past.
Mm-hmm.
So, these promises, they actually change our lives as they did to Abraham.
Amen.
The promise was given to Abraham. He received it and he had the revelation of that which God had promised him.
Amen.
Though he was dead, he did not go by that circumstance.
Right.
He went by the revelation. So his works were not actually natural. Were not just works by him. It was the effect of that faith which was in him. That's why he acted against the natural things.
Amen.
So we are given divine promises that we may attain the nature of God.
Yes.
And by that, then we can do that which is pleasing to God.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever comes in your life, whatever obstacle comes in your life, you have been given the promise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And what is that promise? I think in Hebrews, is it? In Hebrews chapter 6, let's just go back to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, where we read that the people of old received the promises because of their patience and their faith. And now, we read verse 19, or maybe start from 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. The promises that were given us, like Paul says in Hebrews 11, faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And Peter says, when we were given the promises, it creates or it gives us the divine nature of God. And Peter says, it is a living hope, because God is the God of the living. And this hope, Paul here says, it is set before us. The hope that we have is something that is set before us. And here he says, this rope is the anchor of our soul. So our life is anchored in that rope. And then it says here, it also enters within the veil. It enters into the reality, into the fullness, into the purpose of our calling. So how can you be disturbed? How can you be distracted by anything that comes along in your life if your hope is not centered on the present things, but it is centered, it's an anchor which, after all, we have taken our refuge in Christ. We have taken our refuge in the Word of God. So we are anchored there by our hope. And faith is the evidence of that hope. So whatever we do is culminated, is directed by that hope. And this hope, he says, it enters into the inner veil, where Christ also has entered for us. You see, we are not believing, we are not living just for this time. We are to enter into there. And our works are the evidence that we are entering in.
Amen.
We don't do some works for us to enter in. But because we are already anchored there,
Amen.
How can we go anywhere else? When a ship is anchored, let the waves rise. Let the storms come. Let the water rise. It will never be moved because it is anchored.
Right.
So we are anchored in the hope of our calling. Whatever we do is not just for this life. That's why when these things come, when a brother is overtaken, when a brother is in this problem, when a brother or a sister is there, that's why we come in prayer. That's why we have faith for him. That's why we want him to come out of it.
Right.
So that we can go. Mm. We don't want something that will disturb us from going. And because of that, our faith is also increased.
Mm.
You know, I don't pray for you just to come out of your, maybe it can be a financial problem. It can be a health problem. You know, if you help a brother, you're not helping him so that he can just have good things on this earth. We have the anticipation that we are going in the rapture. Because we are going there, we help one another along the way. So our work, what we do, is not for this world. If I help somebody, it's not just like USAID. It's not just a charitable work.
Right.
It's something that is anchored within the veil. That's why whatever is done for Christ, you meet it when you go over there. Because you are not doing it actually for here, you are doing it for there. So your works are not for here, they are for there. So these works are these which James says, without works, faith is dead. Because if you have the faith, it will prompt you to do the works. It will cause you to do the works. Not for this world, not for this time, but for eternity. And whatever is done for eternity will never rot.
Amen.
It will never pass away. It has got its reward there. Because that's where we are going.
Amen.
So our faith shows us, our faith is the interpretation of our words, are the interpretation of our faith. Amen. Because after all, when God gave us this word, You know, it is not the end, but the Bible says the word of God is a seed. So when you are given a seed, you have been given hope. You have been given something that will cause you to look for something. Because a seed, when it is planted, it will bring forth something that is invisible, something that you can't see. So the word of God to us, that's why even Paul says, when we were given the Holy Ghost, it is not the end, but it is a down payment. So God does not do anything just to bring things to an end. When Abraham was called, he was not called to a dead end. He was called to a hope. So that you'd look for the promise. And when we come, we have not been called also to a dead end. Yes, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of the prophets. Mm-hmm. When the prophets came, they were showing forth the coming of Christ.
Right.
When Christ came, it was not the end.
Right.
But it was the opening of us to go into the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see. And when the Holy Ghost was given, it was not an end. It was an opening to bring now the ministry. You see? So it's like the prophet says, it's like a rocket. It blasts, five rockets come out of there, another, and we go. So whatever we are doing is prompted or is propelled by the revelation of the word of God that has been given us. So we are not discouraged. We are not weakened by the things that come our way.
Right.
Be it sickness, be it this problem or that problem. What we do is not just we want to please God or want to please this or want to please that. But it is the faith that makes us do what we do.
Amen.
We are going into the rapture. We are going to meet the Lord. So what we do is not just to please this one or to please myself, but is to make me ready for that which has come to me by revelation.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what? Because of that, God has brought us, you know, into this time. That's why, you know, we fast, we pray, we congregate like this. What is the purpose of all this? That in the end, God will bring into being the purpose of his calling.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll just read this in closing. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that he might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Paul in the book of Ephesians, he says, God revealed to us the mystery of his will. And Paul here says, since we heard of your position in Christ, we do not cease to pray.
Right.
Amen. That you may be filled with all the knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. As we meet even the physical challenges of life, we know they have a spiritual implication on us. That's why Abraham pleased God. All the physical obstacles, he knew
they had the spiritual implication. Mm-hmm. So he had to believe against even what he was seeing in the natural realm. And his works were pleasing to God. And whatever he did, it was accounted to him in the spiritual.
Right.
You see? Because his aim and his faith was for the absolute or for the final purpose of God. That's why God was even pleased when Abel brought a sacrifice, just that lamb he sacrificed. It says, though he was even killed, his blood still speaks to his deed. God was so pleased. You know, he never did some great miracle, some great thing which he was there. He just took a lamb and sacrificed it. And it's recorded in the scriptures that Abel, by faith, he offered to God and was accepted. You see? So our aim and our purpose is not for something great in this world. It's not for something big or something what. It's for the faith that God has revealed to us to accomplish the work of God. So I give myself, like Paul says, we are praying for you that you may come to that knowledge. You may come to that understanding of the purpose of God's calling. You will never be deterred. You will never be sidetracked by the things of this world. Your desire is not for things of this world.
Right.
You see? That's not your purpose. You don't pride in the things of this world. You don't pride in your education, in your wealth, or in your what.
Amen.
All these things are just things given to us in our sojourn.
Amen.
As we are sojourning in this land, we are not here for all the glory of this world.
Right.
Paul says, since we heard of your faith, we pray that you may come to the knowledge and the purpose of God's will.
Amen.
And we cannot come to there until the word of God is revealed to us, and then by faith we do whatever we do. And then we can come back. You know, you can even come back and look at your life. Why are you doing what you are doing? What is the purpose of doing what you are doing? You may have pride in this, pride in that, pride in that, pride in that, or you may have your feelings about this, about that, about that. At the end of the day, what is it culminating to? What is it bringing? You see, if it cannot fit into the inner veil, that means it's all in vain.
Amen. That's right.
That's why the rich young ruler, whatever he was doing, could not fit into the inner veil.
Right.
He was lost. Jesus says, all this wealth, that is not the purpose. All these things that you have, that is not the purpose of life. The purpose of life is in the inner veil. So, take all these things away, follow me, and we enter into there. And he could not, because of his wealth.
Amen. That's right.
You see. So, let not your job, your education, your wealth, or whatever it is, be a stumbling block for you not to enter into the inner veil. Your works, or whatever you do, are the result, are the fruit of the faith that you have in God's calling in this hour in which we are living in. That's why, you know, the Bible says, then the elect of God cannot be deceived. You cannot be deceived. Because whatever you are doing, be it a job, be it marriage, be it work, be it schooling, that is not the absolute. Your absolute is going into the inner veil. So whatever you do, is for the inner things. Don't take pride in something that will remain here. But be it wealth, be it education, be it what, if it is given for this kingdom of God, it will enter into the inner vein. And that is a life worth living.
Amen.
That's why Abel, today we still read of him, he is in the Holy Writ because of just offering that lamb.
Amen.
It was not just the lamb, but it was his revelation in the purpose of God.
Amen.
He so respected the purpose of God.
Right.
His faith looked into the inner veil. And his actions were prompted by his insight or his understanding of the inner veil. And those were called the works of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God will deal with us, and God will work with us in different ways, in different circumstances. But all, when we bring them all together, they will spell out inner veil. Because that is the purpose of our calling.
Amen.
So the works are not just something that we create, but they are the manifestation of our faith in our calling. So we have been called, brothers and sisters, to enter into the inner veil. Our hope is our anchor. Our faith is the illumination. You see, when it's illuminated to you, you actually understand the purpose of coming to God.
Amen.
You see, if the Lord is coming tomorrow, or he may come in 20 years time, or he may come in 10 years time, which of course we know his coming is very near. But whenever the Lord is going to come back, my everyday activity is a public display of the faith that I have.
Amen.
In the coming of the Lord.
Right.
You get it?
Amen.
You know, faith, it says to them of old, though the promises were far off, but they embraced them.
Amen.
You know, the rapture, it may be 10 years away, but if it's by revelation to you, you have already embraced it.
Right.
Your actions, whatever you are doing, are influenced by the revelation that you have of the coming of the Lord.
Yes.
You see, you can never be left behind. You can never be sidetracked by the things of this world. Be it wealth, be it politics, be it what. Yes. We come into these things on an everyday basis in life, but these are not the objective of our living. These are not the purpose of our being here. We are here to go with the Lord, and as far as we are concerned, we have, or we have been brought into that faith which is for the rapture in the inner veil.
Amen.
And our works are a result of that which is beyond.
Praise.
You remember even Brother Branham, when that time he said he was taken into the inner veil. He says, when I came out of that, I am not the same William Branham that I was. He could not be the same.
Right.
So neither can we be the same if we are translated into that inner veil by faith. And we see the reality of the coming of the Lord. That's why when Paul saw the reality of the coming of the Lord, he says, the Lord is coming. If there's anybody who does not love the Lord, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. Because it was so vivid to him, it was so clear to him that the Lord is coming. So if you don't love the Lord, if your life is not propelled by that love of the coming of the Lord, then you're just as good as cursed. So you just be cursed. Because you are doing things out of
the reality, out of the purpose of God, out of why we have been called. Don't be sidetracked by the things of this world, but let our faith bring forth the works. Let our faith bring forth the purpose of God, that we may not be disillusioned by anything of this world. My age, my money, or whatever it is, let it not be an impediment, but let it be a blessing. Amen. That's why John could say, I write to you young men, because you are strong. I write to you elders, because you understand. You know, our age and whatever we are is something that can be used in the hand of God for the propelling of the gospel and the purpose of our calling.
Right.
And may we not be. That's why Paul tells Timothy, run away from the lust of youth. Don't be caught up with the wrong things at this hour. Don't be caught up on the wrong side. But whatever we do, or whatever we pursue, let it be the manifestation of our faith.
Praise the Lord.
And the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Bless you, brother. I wanted to add this, something along to it. Go to the verse that Brother James have just now earlier on in Romans chapter 10. You know, you talk about the rich man whom Jesus spoke to and asked him, you know, about his life. He said, oh, I have kept all the law. That's wonderful. And Jesus said, oh, did you have followed me? He couldn't do it. That's a lot of people today, religiously, whatever denomination it may be, whether it be the end time message, everybody doing what they think is right, just keeping a law, keeping, oh, you know, in those days, what Moses said, in this our day, what Brother Branham said. So what are they following? If you keep a set of law, you're following a dogma, you're doing it without a revelation. And you read in chapter 10 of Romans, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not summoned themselves unto the righteousness of God. How do you get the righteousness of God? It is by faith. That's why Abraham was given that. It was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed. He had the revelation. Do you see that? But people are doing their own righteousness. And just like the rich man, like Brother James was telling you, you know, the Bible said the elect cannot be deceived. And that's what a very common thing that we hear the end time message people say. The elect cannot be deceived. The elect cannot be deceived. They are saying that they are the elect, when it turned out they weren't the elect. We know that elect cannot be deceived by someone. It cannot be deceived by the devil. But the elect can deceive themselves, and which they have failed to recognize. In the Old Testament, remember that? Yes. The Bible has said, do not deceive thyself. So rich man, yeah, I have kept the law. I'm okay. What else do I need? Sell all you have and follow me, for I am the Christ, I am the Word, I am the light. He couldn't accept that. Isn't it true? How many people are deceived in this end time? When the prophet told us, get back to the Word, back to the apostolic father state, back to Pentecost. No, they couldn't understand the Word because they don't have a ear to hear. That's what the Bible said, take heed how you hear, what you hear. What did they hear? When Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you don't have eternal life. Whoa, he's talking about vampirism, he's talking about cannibalism. Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He must be a cuckoo man to raise up a temple that was built for how many hundreds of years. And he can raise it up in 3 days. They didn't know what he was talking about. When the prophet of God to this generation pointed back us back to the word of God, did they hear it right? Say what the depth says, say what I say. And they literally took it for it. Word for word, word for word, without a revelation. And that's the reason why we need a revelation. Like the hearing of the word of God. But the Bible still warns us, take heed how to hear. When you hear it right, and what you hear is right, it produces faith. And when you have the faith, you have the work. You have the manifestation. Hearing the word produces the faith. The faith produces the manifestation. And when you have the manifestation, you will still go back to want to hear more of the word of God. It's a cycle.
That's right.
Your life will be manifesting the word of life.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God for this simplicity of the word of God. It's nothing like hearing the word of God coming out of the Bible, bringing us the life that we need. We are not eating the manna of yesteryears. When Joshua and Caleb crossed over the river Jordan, they didn't eat any more the manna. Because the people didn't even know what on earth that was. They know it came from God. That's why they said manna, manna, manna means what is it? What is it? You understand? So what is the message of the hour? What is it? What is it? Once they cross over the river Jordan, they eat the old corn of the land. And this is still the old corn of the land. How many thousands of years has this book been written? Huh? How many thousand years ago? And it's still the old corn of the land. And it sprouts and brings forth life. The Lord bless you.